In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market. You know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Or what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the host of the Underworld podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
On this episode of Conspiracy Unlimited, is 2018 the nation state's last stand against the evil forces of globalism? Joel Skousen, editor and publisher of World Affairs Brief, discusses.
We have to be very, very careful about letting our optimism get away with us in the sense that we cease to prepare for a takedown. They're leading us into a third world war.
This podcast is brought to you by Family Bunker Designs. If you believe things are headed in a scary direction these days, then you'll want to listen to this message. 4 years ago, John Hartman, a retired military man and certified disaster and survival expert, created the ultimate solution to keep his family safe from danger. He built a family survival bunker. With the advice of experts, he decided to share what he learned and published the ultimate guide to family bunker construction. His designs are highly affordable, yet your family bunker will be safe, well hidden, and strong enough to withstand almost any disaster or terrorist attack. These days, with so many threats out there, a safe hideout is essential for security. And right now, when you order the Family Bunker Guide, you'll get 3 bonus survival guides absolutely free. Don't put it off. Get this life-saving information now. Learn more at clearbroadcast.com. That's clearbroadcast.com.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard Serrett.
Well, happy new year and welcome to 2018. Welcome to episode 13 of Conspiracy Unlimited, my first podcast of the new year. Hope your holidays were merry and bright. 2017 is behind us, and my slight buzz from the New Year's Eve champagne had barely worn off when the latest edition of the World Affairs Brief newsletter arrived in my inbox, courtesy of publisher Joel Skousen, and I began poring over the analysis of the year that was 2017, the ongoing titanic struggle between the globalists and the nation state. This week's edition also looks ahead at the prospects of war with North Korea, and then further down the road, the almost inevitable nuclear confrontation with Russia and China. Talk about a buzzkill. Whenever I speak with Joel, it's always pretty intense. Let's keep in mind, we don't get together to chat and exchange veal recipes, I'll tell you that much. This conversation is likely to get a little bleak, so be forewarned. Sometimes I think Joel should rename his newsletter from World Affairs Brief to something like, oh, I don't know, maybe steal the title from that Ray Bradbury book, Something Wicked This Way Comes. In any event, hold on to your hat and brace yourselves. Joel Skousen is a political scientist by training, a political commentator specializing in the philosophy of law and constitutional theory, as well as a nonfiction survivalist author and retreat consultant specializing in preparedness topics, particularly survival retreat and fallout shelter design and construction. He is also, as I mentioned, the editor and publisher of World Affairs Brief, a weekly news analysis service that examines the secret motives of world leaders and the globalist conspiracy to undermine national sovereignty. Joel Skousen, welcome to Conspiracy Unlimited. How are you?
I'm just fine, Richard. It's always good to be with you.
Likewise, and a happy new year to you and your family.
Thank you.
Before we get started, I want people to know, to understand how they can subscribe to your fabulous newsletter, World Affairs Brief.
Well, thank you, Richard. My website is worldaffairsbrief.com, and we put out a summary of the top news stories every day. But I do my in-depth analysis of the news every Friday, and this week's is the 2017 in review, my annual big picture briefing. And people listening can get a free sample issue simply by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com.
In your year in review, you talk about that this year, this past year, 2017, is the first year you've had something significantly different to report, rather than what you call the slow, agonizing loss of liberty at the hands of the globalists. What changed in 2017?
Well, of course, what changed is the election of Donald Trump. And it isn't that Donald Trump has actually reversed any major loss of liberty, but we have seen a major slowdown and a stopping of the globalist agenda in many, many areas. And I listed 20 in the brief of the successes that Donald Trump has done, mostly through executive orders. And almost a third of what he's done right has been blocked by the courts. And so they're really, what this has done, as I explained in the World Affairs Brief, the massive outpouring of bias and prejudice by the media on a daily basis against Donald Trump, losing all sense of neutrality, combined with the universal opposition of the Democrats and the media and the courts, indicates just, and the bureaucracy, I might say, indicates just how strong the deep state influence pervades all forms of our government and even outside government.
So this is only, what, a temporary interruption of the globalist agenda?
It is. In other words, they're trying their best to stymie them, they're trying their best to remove him from office. And that's the reason, for example, why they didn't want Mitt Romney to be elected, even though he was a conservative, he was much more stable than Donald Trump. And yet, even though he bent over backwards to hire globalist advisors from the CFR and hired Michael Chertoff to run his advisory campaign, they didn't want him. They don't want somebody who's not an insider in the White House. You just see too much. And they have had to circle the wagons and corral Donald Trump to keep him from seeing all of the deep state activity going on. But he's seeing enough. He's seeing all the leaks. He's seeing all the betrayal within the bureaucracy. And he just doesn't know how to stop it because, frankly, there aren't enough conservatives in Washington because of all the liberal and globalist agenda for so many years. There aren't enough conservatives in Washington to staff even a tenth of the White House staff, let alone the rest of the bureaucracy. So he's really at a disadvantage, even if he knew who to pick, which he doesn't because he's never run in conservative circles before.
Who amongst his staff are the key globalists?
Well, that's a little difficult to say because the only one that I'm sure of is two of them, H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, and Chief of Staff Kelly, General Kelly. Those people have both have globalist backgrounds. Of course, every military general of the general officer nature goes through command staff school and goes through National War College and several National War Colleges. And they're taught generally by globalist professors from Georgetown University. So they get an indoctrination for years and years on the benefits of the U.S. expanding its power worldwide, intervention in other countries. And they're not allowed, if they object, if they really put their foot out and object to this, they get passed over. You don't get to be general. And so that's what happened. Now, Mattis, I think, is in that category of somebody who said yes to them all the time, doesn't see the danger, or at least chooses not to see. Not an actual globalist himself. And yet he gets briefings, for example. He turned around completely Donald Trump in his Afghanistan briefing that he got in the Pentagon tank, that soundproof room in the Pentagon where they get top secret briefings, and boy, they just gave him a snow job. And even though he asked a lot of questions, prompting Tillerson to say what a moron he was in private under his breath, he didn't have any answers for the stock answers that these briefers have. They have answers to all this stuff. Any objection? You have to really know what you're doing in order to counter their answers, to counter their stock answers. And he doesn't have that background. He doesn't have a military background to know if what his staff is presenting him about his options in North Korea have any validity or not. And I'm really worried that they're problematic there.
What score would you give Trump on draining the swamp?
I would give him a zero on draining the swamp. For example, he fired James Comey, who was an insider, a member of the swamp, and he replaced him with Christopher Wray, another insider, member of the swamp. His history goes back with Comey and Mueller and the clear to the Enron and the 9/11 cover-up by government. So this is an insider, and so he just doesn't see. He's picked several insiders when the Democrats have blocked a nomination, like Puzder of Labor had to withdraw. He puts in Alex Azar in there and
Acosta, Alex Acosta. Yeah.
Alex Acosta and then Alex Azar as HHS, who's
right.
A former executive, and and to allow Jeff Sessions to recuse himself while keeping Rod Rosenstein, an Obama appointee, as deputy, just turned over the Department of Justice to Rod Rosenstein, who then, of course, appointed Mueller, who's an insider and who has worked incessantly to try to find something on Donald Trump vis-a-vis the Russia investigation, which had been totally unsuccessful, and that's why he had gone after ancillary and not even connected things to the Russian inquiry, such as Paul Manafort and his money laundering and working for the Ukraine had nothing to do with the Russian collusion.
No, it leads back to the Podestas.
And he's not prosecuting the Podestas, of course.
Right.
And those emails, of Anthony Weiner are coming out now. They had classified things. And, of course, now we know that the entire Federal Bureau of Investigation at the higher levels, not the entire, I would say about all of the higher people were already conspiring to let Hillary Clinton off the hook. I mean, we know that Strzok and McCabe were editing Comey's decision to exonerate her a month before they interviewed Hillary Clinton. Think of that.
Yes, unprecedented.
They were changing the document, and deciding how to word this carefully, you know, to exonerate a month before they even interviewed her. I mean, this is just, and people should go to prison for, this is real obstruction of justice. And yet, I'm afraid that the Congress has no guts for this, because the media, of course, will crucify them if they try to. But clearly, this is obstruction of justice when you have collusion to whitewash a major crime like this, and to come out as Comey did, saying we can't find any intent for Hillary Clinton to violate the law. Well, intent has never been a defense for security of violations. It has never been a defense, and yet they handed it to her on a silver platter, and the media said nothing.
Well, that was, I mean, that seemed clear. That seemed to be Plan A, was to first exonerate Hillary, but then when she failed to win the election, then they had to go into Plan B, and we hear this term insurance policy being bandied about by former FBI investigator Strzok. What was that insurance policy?
The insurance policy was the Russia investigation. It was the way to impeach Donald Trump. It was the way, and they haven't succeeded in that because there is no collusion. I mean, you can talk to the ambassador of Russia or any enemy country as a candidate all you want. It's not a violation of law because you're a candidate for president. You have a right to talk. If you collude directly, and that means they have to come up with the actual conversations, which they don't, haven't come up with, then you can prove collusion. But they don't have anything. There's no smoking gun there. And so they're just dancing around the subject. What they're really trying to do, Richard, is to get Trump to make a mistake in terms of obstructing justice that they can wiretap from the NSA, leak to the press, and then crucify him. And he's been smart enough so far not to let that happen. He knows that everybody is leaking in the White House. He's got holdovers from Obama still in the White House. You know, it's really interesting, and I watched this very, very closely. In the first month of the Trump administration, there was nothing, no moves out of any of the bureaucracy to do anything based upon their Democratic background. You know, these people have been in these pro-government positions for years, and a lot of them were Obama appointees, and they did nothing because they were afraid that Trump was going to clamp down on them and come and fire them if they started to do business as usual. But as soon as the courts blocked his Muslim ban, they realized, oh, okay, the jig's up, he's stymied, he's going to be kept running around and busy with his own brush fires. He's not going to be able to monitor us. And boy, after a month, they began, it was business as usual. Everything about immigration and refugees went up to normal and even increased over normal levels. The funds kept flowing out. He didn't stop any of those funds going to those NGOs and religious organizations that were creating housing and buying up land and property for refugees in other countries without the permission of the states. It was just business as usual, and he still hasn't clamped down. That's why I give him a zero of draining the swamp. And he's been very, very ineffective at trying to uncover and expose the deep state. And I must admit, Richard, it's very difficult. As an expert in conspiracy, and having watched this for decades, having been in Washington, D.C., it's almost impossible to tell who's just being a useful idiot and following along because it's politically correct thing to do, and who's an actual conspirator making the decisions. In order to get that information, you'd have to wiretap these guys' phones. And, of course, the NSA controls that, and they wouldn't, you know, the deep state controls the NSA. They would come back and say, no, there's nothing there.
We all enjoy a little mystery. Every other week, One Strange Thing presents forgotten stories from America's newspaper archives. They all have something in common, a single element that can't quite be explained. Join us on One Strange Thing, and you'll hear about a man who was literally stricken with genius. A 21st century child who remembered piloting a World War II bomber. A mysterious, unidentifiable blob in Texas. And then there was the lizard man stalking through small-town South Carolina. From cryptids and disappearances to modern-day miracles, One Strange Thing brings you stories that are very real and just a little otherworldly. Subscribe now, wherever you listen.
Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Everytown Podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Everytown Podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
I seem to recall reading something, it may have been on WND, where Trump was considering or had decided to hire an outside private intelligence firm in order to spy on those that are spying on him. Do you recall that story?
I don't recall that story.
I'll have to find that.
Happened. Yeah. Obviously nothing happened there because it isn't happening. And, you know, they could even thwart that. You know, I mean, they can basically, with the label of national security, throw that badge. They can stop anybody, even the president, from getting down into the NSA.
If you had some FaceTime with the president alone, what would you say to him in terms of helping him to drain the swamp? Who would you tell him to surround himself? Who would you appoint as his advisors?
Well, in the first place, I would sit down and discuss with him all the known examples I have how the deep state is operating right now under his nose, especially the underground arms and funding of ISIS, which he needs to know about. How they falsified, for example, the chemical weapons into Syria so they could blame it on Assad. Two of the things that have driven his agenda. How Iran, for example, I've explained to him about the Iran deal, how the powers that be went in and invited Iran to make the deal. It wasn't Iran asking for this deal. It was our own people saying, we want to make a deal. And they trapped Iran, knowing that how deeply they wanted to get rid of the sanctions into accepting things that would allow it to be a trigger event for a future war, and how he's falling into that trap. I mean, just by exposing him to those three things in foreign policy so that he could go after it and task Mattis under threat of, you know, expulsion, you find that deep state pipeline. And Mr. Skousmere has told us which Azerbaijani airline is doing it. They know which airline. It's a whistleblower here. I want this shut down. And I'll tell you, he would... here's the problem, Richard. If you really started to uncover the deep state, they'd have to do something. They cannot, they will not take no for an answer. They will not allow this operation, which has been going on for decades, to be shut down. And that's when you start to get into the threat of, threatening the president. And if he doesn't divide, you know, you eliminate him or you incapacitate him. And they have that 25th Amendment that they can throw out there if they interjected mood-altering drugs and made him unstable so that they could claim he's incapacitated. They could do a lot without even assassination. And I don't think assassination is on the option. It's a last resort. And that's because you would create a martyr out of Trump. Now, you'd make your problem worse in terms of making people hopping mad. You always create a lot more conspiracy evidence when you do an assassination like this, as they did in JFK, and you create a lot more evidence when you pull off a black operation like 9/11.
People might might roll their eyes at this suggestion, but I think there are some interesting parallels between Trump and Kennedy in the sense that they both ran up against this permanent national security state, and the deep state. What do you think?
Yeah, the thing that triggered Kennedy's death was that after the day after the Bay of Pigs failure, he was livid because he had gone to bed authorizing the air support for the Bay of Pigs. And in the middle of the night, McGeorge Bundy, a globalist, canceled it. And he knew in the morning, of course, that McBundy, who had all these excuses why they shouldn't do it, you know, was part of the CIA. And he swore right then, I'm going to shut down these black operations of the CIA. And I think that's what signed his death warrant.
But do you see a parallel between Kennedy and what he was up against? No?
Yeah, you've got to remember that Kennedy was a liberal and a Democrat. And one of the reasons why, besides sealing his death warrant on trying to shut down CIA black operations, they wanted to make Kennedy a martyr. Because, you see, his legislative agenda had been failing in Congress. He wasn't passing anything of the new Great Society thing, which as soon as they made him a martyr, nobody could say no, and they passed everything in Congress under Johnson. And so they wanted to make him a martyr. But, you see, first of all, Donald Trump doesn't have, I think, the background sufficient to be able to ferret out the deep state. And secondly, even if he did and they martyred him, they don't want to do that. They don't want to make a major hero out of Donald Trump and enliven Trump's supporters, which are very activist. They're not the majority, in my opinion, in the United States, but they're enough to really make waves and cause... they just don't want to have another landslide against them. They want to have a backlash election, which they're trying to engineer for 2018.
You make it sound quite hopeless. I mean, many people who obviously oppose the globalist agenda had at least a glimmer of hope with the election of Trump, and we realized it would be a very difficult task to drain the swamp and sort of reverse course. But you make it sound almost hopeless.
Well, look, I've studied this for decades, Richard, and that's why I'm on your show. And I'll tell you, you look at the Brexit, for example. The Brexit won in a vote very similar to Trump's winning. They caught the pro-EU people off guard. They thought they were going to win. All the polls showed that they were going to win. They kind of sat on their hands, and it came back to bite them with a massive vote for the Brexit, just like the massive vote for Trump. They didn't anticipate it. It overwhelmed even their manipulation of the election on both sides of the pond. But now you look how Prime Minister Theresa May, who was against the Brexit, came out, and I was very suspicious of her. She said, I'm going to champion this Brexit. I'm going to make sure it's done. And she acted like she was really going to go forward for it, and she had done nothing but sabotage it. In the name of negotiating all this, she's agreed to inculcate everything in the EU into British law so that the Brexit means nothing, including massive British spending for a new EU army, which she is secretly engaged with. I mean, everything except the EU court, which she's not accepting into Britain, but everything else, including all the laws, are being put into British law. So these are very sophisticated. These globalists are not going to take no for an answer. And that's why I think we have to be very, very careful about letting our optimism get away with us, in the sense that we cease to prepare for a takedown. If we keep thinking, we're going to win, we just need another Donald Trump, but look what has happened. They have thwarted him on almost everything, especially the ports. They're leading us into a third world war, and that's why what he's doing in North Korea is very, very critical.
You know what else is critical, Joel? Internet security. And internet security experts tell us to use a different password for every website. But that can be a bit of a nightmare, keeping track of all those passwords with our online shopping, banking, email, and other essentials. Plus, long, complicated passwords are more secure, but they're so hard to remember. Well, there's one great solution. It's called RoboForm. You never need to remember or type a password ever again. RoboForm gives you stronger passwords and faster logins, all with a single click. It keeps all your devices in sync, and when you shop online, RoboForm fills in those long address forms with one click. It's available for Windows, Mac, iOS, and Android, for personal or business use, and for peace of mind. RoboForm has around-the-clock support. It's one great solution for online security. Learn more at OneGreatSolution.com. That's OneGreatSolution.com.
If there's one thing money can't buy, it's sanity. Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be buried in an avalanche?
Weird foreign feeling of despair.
Or how it feels to crash a skydive?
I remember hearing a thud, feeling my body hit the ground.
Or how you would react if you were being attacked by an alligator?
At the end of my leg is this huge alligator head on my leg.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a victim of an attack.
Dragging me into the bathroom and saying, I'm going to kill you, now you're going to die.
You'll hear from a man who discovered a baby.
How could this be? How could there be a baby on the ground?
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Clinky County 911.
There's a man at my back door. He's trying to get in.
What Was That Like is a podcast about real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app or at whatwasthatlike.com.
Let me remind listeners, Joel Skousen, editor and publisher of World Affairs Brief. Just before we get into North Korea, remind listeners again how they can subscribe to the newsletter.
They can go to my website, World Affairs Brief. The newsletter is an email-only newsletter. It does have a PDF link where you can print it out if you prefer to read it in paper copy. But at worldaffairsbrief.com, you get a synopsis of the current brief with a big red subscribe button. That's how you can subscribe. It's only $48 a year or about a dollar a week. But I suggest people get a free sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com before they do so.
Now, you write that Trump is doing the right thing by going after North Korea militarily, but you say he has less than a year to take down their nuclear missile program before it becomes lethal. Explain.
They have successfully, with the help of Russian technology, and most of their rocket technology comes from Russia, done the Hwasong-14 missile test, which is a true intercontinental ballistic range missile which can threaten America, Canada, even Western Europe. So he's got the missile range now. We don't know how many missiles he has, but the problem is that he's never had a warhead that has survived reentry. This requires special metallurgical technology to be able to withstand the extreme high heat of coming back through the atmosphere from a very high trajectory. And this latest missile, for example, broke up upon reentry, so the warhead didn't even burn up like it did in the one before that Japan has a photograph of the middle of the warhead flaming and then exploding from heat in the reentry. But they can solve that anytime, you know, with a little technological help from Russia or China. And China is a the secret puppet sponsor of North Korea, and certainly has only been holding North Korea back because Russia and China aren't ready for this trigger event. North Korea, which has always been planned as the trigger event for World War III, they aren't ready to take on the West yet. They're still not in production of all their top-of-the-line weapon systems, which aren't coming online until 2022, 23, or 24. So they don't want this trigger used up, and that's why they are promising the moon to try to get Trump to back off and accept the negotiations. But Trump has wisely said, look, every negotiation has failed for the past 10 years, and they've lied and cheated to us. His globalist advisors are pushing in to allow one more round of negotiation, which he's doing right now, but he's got at the end of the rope, and they know it. Look, we're going after him. I promise the American people we're going to take care of North Korea, and so This is a major military strike on North Korea that is coming, probably after the Olympics, I presume, in March. And that's what CIA Director Leon Panetta had told Jim Rickards, that's when he expects the strike to go down.
So this will not be a bloody nose, as some of Trump's globalist advisors are recommending, that we give North Korea just a bloody nose. This is going to be...
Well, likely, that's what I worry about, Richard, is that he's been given several options, and they're pushing the bloody nose option first. But I'll tell you, you do a missile strike of, 50 cruise missiles on an air base, it's going to do nothing to stop his offensive power, which there are three legs of that. There's a massive artillery force, 15,000 to 20,000 artillery tubes along the DMZ, which can start to put down a barrage upon Seoul, the capital, only 60 miles away from the DMZ, immediately. And you've got to take those things out if you're going to stop. You can't just give him a bloody nose and expect him, who, the Eastern mentality, especially Russia, I'm sorry, especially China, North Korea, and Japan, is that they don't accept, they have to save face. They cannot accept a strike without retaliation. And so it's going to happen. And I think that's why he needs to pick the toughest option, to have a massive strike of all the armed forces legs that we have, cruise missiles, bombers, fighters, artillery, and everything to take out that artillery along the DMZ, get all the air bases and get all the missile launch sites in the first day. And then you stop him from being a lethal threat, and you don't have to kill any North Korean civilians, and you don't have to invade the country. With an appropriate blockade, you can bring it to its knees. And that would, of course, involve some conflict with China, because China right now, we know, is cheating on the sanctions by doing ship-to-ship transfer of oil, and Russians are doing the same. They were caught doing a ship transfer of oil and fuel oil also this week.
But you're saying the odds are 80% in your estimation that this would not lead to World War III. In other words, China and Russia would not join forces against the United States in retaliation for a U.S. strike on North Korea. 80% chance, 80% odds that it will not lead to World War III, correct?
Meaning, and I'm projecting that it will not allow, lead to a retaliatory nuclear strike upon America from Russia and China, which would be overwhelming. Okay, I do think, however, that they will play the role of helping North Korea resupply militarily so that they can still fight this war. They want to have this war get bloody, just like the first Korean War was, where the U.S. fought with under UN auspices, where all their plans MacArthur had to go through the Russian commander of the UN military desk in the UN, and that's why the North Koreans and Chinese knew about everything that MacArthur was going to do, except the Incheon landing, by the way, which he didn't tell the UN that he was going to do. This is the problem, is that I think his globalist advice, if Trump doesn't do it the right way and really neuter his ability and then block China from entering anything into North Korea by putting up a blockade, a nuclear blockade, and an aerial blockade over the Yalu River so that China cannot use it across those bridges with any supplies, he's going to have another Korean War, and his advisors and the American people, just like Vietnam, will say, no, this is too costly, and they have too many casualties now. And they will sue for peace before victory, just like we did. We were on a victorious roll, pushing the Chinese and the North Korean back, and they said, all right, ceasefire. And that preserved this trigger event for future. And I think that's what they would do in this case. If this trigger event goes off too soon, they'll stop it before it arrives in victory, so that the communists are still in power in North Korea. And then that trigger event will be postponed into the early part of the next decade when Russia and China are ready. That's what I fear.
You mentioned China, obviously, being the major sponsor of North Korea. But would North Korea have even a glimmer of hope of developing nuclear weapons without former U.S. President Bill Clinton?
Well, yes. I mean, Bill Clinton didn't knowingly give them technology. He allowed the Commerce Department to let a lot of technology go to Red China, which gets to North Korea indirectly. But he was a globalist puppet, just like Obama was, just like George W. Bush was. They controlled both Republicans and Democrats, and they played permissive with North Korea. I mean, look at, in contrast of how they treated Iran with absolute... there's no room for error. You cannot develop a nuclear weapon. And North Korea already has one, developing the missiles. And yet so far, no administration has ever said we're going to use military force to stop you. They haven't even said we require regime change. And they say the military option has not been on the table until Trump. And that's one of the reasons they didn't want Trump in there, because Trump would react as a natural, smart businessman. He says, look, this is a threat, and negotiation is not on the table. North Korea says the nuclear program and the missile program is not on the table, so why negotiate? And his advisors have been given some very sophisticated arguments to put him off, but I think that's all they're doing, is putting him off. I think he's going to strike, and I'm just hoping he strikes big enough in order to neuter the threat. If he doesn't, we're going to have another Korean War by spring.
Going back to President Clinton, you mentioned something in your year in review on World Affairs Brief, and that has to do with a key indicator of these treasonous intentions, and this is Bill Clinton's secret PDD-60, which changed the U.S. nuclear response doctrine. What is PDD-60?
Presidential Decision Directive 60 was a complete revamp of U.S. nuclear doctrine. It changed the prior existing doctrine, which was we prepare to win a nuclear war if it starts by launching on warning and prosecute it to its end until it's won. And the doctrine was changed in PDD-60 not to win a nuclear war, but to simply deter it and to not rely on launch on warning, but to absorb a nuclear first strike and be prepared to absorb a nuclear first strike and then retaliate afterwards. As General Butch Neal of the Marine Corps said when he read it, he said, retaliate with what? And one of the reasons, and I give a link in this World Affairs Brief, if people get the sample, I give a link to the only known exposition about PDD-60, because it's top secret still. And I don't even think Trump knows about it. I don't think his advisors have told him about it, lest he change it. But PDD-60 is still secret, but we have a known exposition by one of the guys, Craig Cernillo of Arms Control Today and a disarmament group who helped write it, that explains, the Washington Post in December of 1997 was saying, well, this still allows launch on warning, and Craig Cernillo wrote a piece, and the New York Times said, no, it does allow launch on warning, and, it basically says we need to prepare to absorb a nuclear first strike and retaliate afterwards. And I'll tell you, that is just really stupid, because when our satellites detect the launch, when you launch on warning, their missiles hit empty silos, and our missiles are out of the silos and heading for real targets. So the one who launches wins in a first strike scenario. And what Butch Neal also knew, which I found out, is that PDD-60 also removed the alternate launch codes. So in case the president's nuclear suitcase, which gives the codes out for launch of nuclear, doesn't arrive at the nuclear forces, there are alternate launch codes. If we've got confirmation a nuclear strike is on the way, they can still launch, but that's not true anymore. If the globalist advisors around Trump interdict those launch codes so they never arrive, we're going to absorb a nuclear first strike even though our missile forces don't know it and are still practicing to launch a first retaliatory strike, launch on warning. They won't be able to do it without those alternate launch codes, and Trump will have thought he authorized it, just like Kennedy. I authorized the air support. The globalist, I think, will intervene. They want, you see, our military destroyed in a first strike so that they can convince Americans and Canadians and the Europeans into joining a militarized global government in response. If the U.S. military is destroyed, who defends the West?
Precisely.
Perfect excuse to cobble together, and I think that's what this new EU army that's being secretly deployed, not under NATO, but under the globalists in the EU, is going to be the seed forces to start this militarized global government. I think that's what's being set up. That's why the Brexit will not be allowed to occur. That's why Prime Minister May is betraying it and putting English armed forces into the new EU force and helping pay for it.
So these populist uprisings, first in the United States, then there was Brexit. There seems to be a populist uprising in places like Poland, Austria, Hungary. Yeah. Is this the last gasp of the nation state, or is there still hope, Joel?
Well, this is the rebellion, but the trouble is they are in a minority in every country, and just like the Trump supporters, technically are in the minority here. Trump wouldn't have been cobbled together as big a minority as he did had it not been for his popular stand. If he were a true constitutional conservative, he wouldn't have got half of those votes. And so only by compromising and bringing in the blue-collar workers and promising things that he couldn't deliver, like jobs, you know, there'll be a few increased by this, but it won't be, you know, you can't deal with all of the regulations, the red tape here we have. That's what I'm just saying. We are a minority, but they're still worried. They're worried enough they've had to pull out all the stops in Austria to defeat, you know, the Freedom Party, and in Belgium, and the Geert Wilders and others, and in France, you know, with the National Front. They really had to pull out all the stops and make them look bad and do false flag type things and use the terrorist thing to keep people, you know, used to major government power intervening. So terrorism has been a major global force by the globalists in order to get people to lose constitutional liberties and rights.
So
to get involved in conflict all every year.
Let's discuss Russia and China and their military capabilities. You said their high-tech weaponry is not coming on stream until 2020, 2030. So there is a window here. But what do the Chinese, for example, what do they have right now in terms of, let's say, their nuclear arsenal?
Well, the Chinese, of course, are, you know, it's really the Russians that have the biggest a threat to us, because they've got an awful lot more missiles. I mean, they have got hundreds of high-tech new missiles with 10 to 12 warheads. Some of them only have four, but some of them, you know, average, say, 8 to 10 warheads each. We've only got 406 missiles left. We keep shooting them off every year as tests, and we've taken all three warheads off and replaced them with single warhead. So we have 406 warheads to throw in a nuclear exchange. And the Russians have over 1,000 on missiles. And the Chinese, even though they have perhaps only 90 ballistic missiles, they're all MIRV with at least 10 warheads on them. And so even the Chinese with 90, you see, have 900 warheads versus our 406. And as I say, we have some ballistic missile submarines as well. But in 1997, President Clinton made a one-sided compromise with the Russians by saying, as a gesture of goodwill, in line with PDD 60, we're going to keep 50% of our ballistic missile submarines in port at any one time to make them easier for you to target, just to show that we have no offensive desires against Russia. I mean, this was just suicide, and it's still going on, Richard. 50% of our ballistic missile submarines are in port, in two ports, Kings Bay, Georgia, and Bangor, Maine. Bangor, Washington, in the Puget Sound, making those cities literal targets. They're going to get hit by the Russians and Chinese to stop them from getting out of those underwater pens.
And you are one of the few journalists who has insisted from the very beginning that the Russians, Putin remains a communist, and the Russians remain
a Soviet Union.
Right.
Crafted deception.
Yeah. A crafted deception. Yet I read about Putin, for example, giving land back to the Orthodox Church. He wears a crucifix in public. He, you know, he talks about the Bible. That doesn't sound like a communist. He's also, hasn't he also allowed sort of free enterprise zones in Russia? He's privatized a lot of property that was held by the former Soviet Union. I mean, at least on the surface, he seems to be a capitalist and a Christian.
Well, these are typical ruses which communists, it's easy for them to do. First example, about the Christian aspect. You know, the Orthodox Christian Church has been in bed with the communists ever since 1917, when they're overthrew, at least when Lenin and Stalin were really in power, and Khrushchev included, the Catholic Church, or the Orthodox Catholic Church, was under communist control. So it's nothing for Putin to say, you know, I'm supporting the Orthodox Church. One of the things he's done is clamped down on anything on other religions. I mean, free religion. He's clamped down on Mormons. He's clamped down on Baptists. He's clamped down on Jehovah's Witnesses. They can't proselytize anymore. So this is not, you know, a religious person who's out for religious liberty. Yes, he's allowed some free market, opening in the markets, But, for example, they can still control state control over all transportation. And he, by the way, is the newest oligarch, really, is getting, what I've heard from my sources in Moscow, a 4% cut of all trade that comes through. He gets a cut. He's part of that bureaucracy that basically says that's how we make ourselves wealthy. So, I mean, he is, this palace he's built in Sochi, you know, for Putin, he claims, you know, isn't his, but everybody knows in Sochi this is Putin's palace that was built for him, gold-plated and gold-lined. So this is typical communist tactics, not free market tactics, any more than the Chinese open their markets, of course, to companies, but they still require you give up all your trade secrets when you come into China. And that's unfair trade practices, and they're doing that, of course, to gain funds to build up their military-industrial complex. And so it's like Lenin said, you know, the capitalists will sell you the rope to hang them.
So a look ahead to 2018, Joel, maybe leave us with some hope here. What are some things to look for that might indicate that the you know, the anti-globalist resistance, you know, might be winning?
Well, I can't give any hope, any false hope, that the anti-globalist resistance is winning. What has been done is Trump has slowed them down. And that, to a certain extent, gives us more time. It gives people more time to prepare. But I'm telling people that, in my newsletter, that this war is coming. Even if this North Korea war doesn't end up as a World War III, it's going to happen in the next decade without fail, because Russia and China are not building these weapons of mass destruction for nothing. And as long as PD-60 is still in vogue here, it means the U.S. is intending to absorb a nuclear first strike in the military. So while we enjoy the respite from some globalist things, we need to still prepare for war, because it's coming. And I'll tell you, when it comes, life in Canada and the United States never going to be the same again. Never going to be the same. There's going to be an EMP strike to start it, followed by a 15-minute later strike on American military forces and some Canadian bases as well. And that EMP is going to take down the grid for, you know, could be 3 months, could be 6 months. It only takes 3 days to cause chaos and rioting and social unrest. So what I'm saying is, while we must still fight for our liberty, we must still fight to get these laws changed and some reversals made, we need to be preparing for war, because it's coming. And Canadians, Americans are just in complete denial. Our leaders aren't warning us. Nobody's warning us about war. But I'll tell you, they're all preparing. They're all building extremely deep bunkers under the ground. That's not for terrorism. They know this war is coming. They intend to survive, but they're not telling us. So I'm just warning, this is coming. And Trump is going to, this week, year in 2018, he's going to do a big infrastructure spending thing. I don't know where he's going to get the money after the tax cut, but the Democrats are going to, of course, support that. There just isn't any money. He needs to cut foreign aid. He needs to shut down, do a partial shutdown of the government. And everyone says a shutdown of the government shuts everything down, and it doesn't. You can basically use the government shutdown, the funds that are coming in, to fund the essential things, and then cut off foreign aid and cut off the unconstitutional welfare aspects of it. You'd be held to pay politically, unfortunately, because of the entitlement mentality now. But, you know, a Republican, if he did it right, could really, you don't have to have a balance for budget amendment. A government shutdown does that. You just keep the essential things of government running, and you cut off the foreign aid and all the extra stuff, and you'd find that people would survive and get used to it. But I don't think Trump, you know, has the wherewithal to do that.
So 2018, prepare for war. Joel, we'll have you on again, and you can advise us on how we can do that.
I'm not saying it's coming in 2018.
No.
I don't think it is.
No.
But it is coming, and that just gives us more time with Donald Trump to do some preparation. And we can prepare, and we can talk about that in the future.
And we shall. Joel, again, tell us how we can subscribe to World Affairs Brief.
Go to worldaffairsbrief.com and get a free sample issued by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com.
Joel, always a pleasure. Thank you for this.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, before I dim the lights in my little studio beneath the stairs, I want to give you a heads up on what's coming up on episode 14 of Conspiracy Unlimited. But before that, it's a new year. Let me ask you, is weight loss on your wish list? Unfortunately, the commitment to weight loss often fades. Many people simply give up in the first 90 days. And the key is having the right mindset. Getting thin and staying that way lies in our thought processes. And hypnotherapy can make all the difference. Now, clinical hypnotherapist Dr. Steve G. Jones has created a set of 5 audio hypnotic sessions that apply the power of hypnosis to reprogram the mind and replace bad habits with vibrant, positive new habits to help you achieve natural and long-lasting weight loss. Weight loss hypnotherapy really works, and it's available now at a special discount. Isn't it time to lose those extra pounds? Check out weight loss hypnotherapy right now at smartclicksavings.com. That's smartclicksavings.com. Well, speaking of hypnotherapy, episode 14 of Conspiracy Unlimited, How to Remember Past Lives Through Hypnosis. I'll discuss with registered hypnotherapist Dr. Elena Gabor. Until next time, I'm Richard Serrett. So long for now.
New Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Blow your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review, because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need constant petting.